Welcome everybody back to My Wave Podcast. Super excited to have Chris Bradley here with us today, and we'll be hearing his story in just a few moments, but super excited also that warmer days are here. Trying to get out of my wetsuit, but that also means summer, and I want to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode. It's Shredders Surf Camp. Shredders Surf Camp is at Wrightsville Beach. They do four-day camps, private group lessons, individual private lessons, one-day lessons. Check them out if you're in the Wrightsville Beach area and would like to learn to surf. Check them out at shredderssurf.com. I do want to give a big thanks to Billy behind the scenes here at Copilot Studio. So thankful for all his effort and work. Appreciate it. You can follow him on Instagram at Copilot Studio. Also, if you like what you're hearing, you can actually support this podcast through buymeacoffee.com. Chris, you ever heard of Buy Me a Coffee?
I haven't, but you can buy me a coffee anytime.
I know. I'm all about some coffee, but buymeacoffee.com/mywave. You can buy me a coffee for $5. It goes towards the podcast, helping me with expenses. But you can buy me one cup. You can buy me five cups, whatever you want. And there's no contracts. It's just a one and done. Oh, so nice. Yeah, buy me a wave. Oh, and buy me a wave. buymeacoffee.com. My wave. Chris, with the way the waves have been the last few days, we need to buy some waves.
Absolutely.
Man, it is. There was some sneakers last Friday, and I totally missed it.
I did too.
And then there was a fun little wave Sunday morning.
I missed Sunday morning.
And I missed that one. So I'm striking out.
Me too.
It was kind of like the last session that you and I surfed. Yes. So I really don't know you. Yep. I mean, we've talked briefly in the past, but I really don't know you. But rolled up to parking lot and you were getting ready to go. I was getting ready to go. And we were like, hey, let's just go. And we kind of missed the swell. The tide filled in.
We did.
Yeah.
But it was always down the beach.
Always. Down there. Let's paddle down there. We should have gone where you said. And I was like, well, over there looks fun. And we went there. And then I was like, hey, let's go ruin their session down there by paddling down to them, because it'll disappear when we get there. And sure enough, it did.
It did. And they were just sitting there anyways.
Yeah, they were just, it was a bummer. So Chris, I'm excited to hear your wave and hear a little bit more of your story. You kind of grew up around here?
I'm from Jacksonville.
Okay.
I spent all my life learning to surf, Little Grum, on Topsail Island.
There you go.
Surf City, North Topsail Beach. That's home.
Yeah?
That's where I'm from.
Awesome. So when did you pick up surfing?
My dad surfed.
Okay.
And it was just one of those things. I have a younger brother who's 4 years younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
My dad got us surfing young. The earliest I remember, if you ask my dad, I think I had my first surfboard when I was 4.
Wow.
My dad traded it for a couple boxes of shotgun shells. Yeah. So a single fin McCoy. And my brother has it in his shaping room.
Really?
Yes.
So we still have it.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is it hanging up?
It's just sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in rough shape back then, and it's still in rough shape now, but we still have it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Did you all share that board as kids? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So we kept it, and my brother rode it. And
yeah,
we still have it.
That's awesome. So that's, what are you riding these days?
So my brother shapes, like I said.
Yeah.
He's been shaping for more than 20 years.
Wow.
And I think if I brought anything else home, he would disown me.
Oh.
So I ride JB surfboards.
JB.
JB,
yeah. JB surfboards. Okay. So what does he shape for individuals? Does he shape for shops? What does he do?
No, doesn't do any shops. Everything is custom order.
Okay.
So all individual, shortboards, longboards.
Really?
You know, he really likes the art of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he has shaped some pretty rad stuff.
Yeah.
He's done some bonzers and he's done some full retro shapes and just, he has a lot of fun with it. Sean O'Donnell does his glass work for him. So yeah, man,
yeah.
He just has a good time with it.
So Sean, if you're ever listening to these, you need to get in on here. Cause the last podcast we just cut was, we talked about him.
Right.
And there's been others. So Savage Surfboards, we're coming for you. You're going to get on this podcast
eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah. So does he just do one at a time? Or, I mean,
it depends on, it's just by order only.
Okay.
So
is this his living?
No, this is just I don't want to call it a hobby because it's really not a hobby doing that stuff, but he loves shaping. So you know, people order boards. Sometimes he'll pick up an extra blank or two and he'll call me and he says, hey, I got an extra blank. You ready for something new? I'm like, let's do it.
He cuts you the brother discount.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's good. What do you ride? It seemed like you had mentioned something a couple weeks, Sundays ago when we surfed that you had like a magic size or what?
Yeah. So, about 10 years ago, we started, all my boards started, we went back retro. We went back 80s, low rocker, full volume, thick rails, wide tails. That's what we rode back in the 80s around here. It's what works for me. I know it works for me. So that's what we've stuck with.
Yeah.
The 5.7 to 5.10 range. And with that full volume, and I can set out back a little bit further than everybody else and get that little sneak wave in. So
well, that's cool. So Chris, some of the what we want to do on the podcast is teach people some things. And so you just rattled off a whole bunch of things about a surfboard.
Right.
Like rocker, rails. Back up real quick.
Okay.
Educate our audience on those things that you just dropped.
All right. So rocker. And the rocker of the surfboard is the nose. Talking about the curvature of the nose.
Okay.
When I say low rocker, it doesn't have that flip up in the nose, almost like a ski, like a water ski, how it flips up. So it doesn't have, my boards, they have low rocker.
All right.
I don't have that real defined turning up of the nose.
What does a rocker do for a board?
It helps with glide across the water. Mm-hmm. So you're not digging that nose in the water. So you're not purling.
All right. So a board with low rocker or no rocker is going to require you to be a better...
You have to arch your back a little bit more. Okay. You want to get just to get that nose out of the water. But typically with boards with that low rocker, they're going to have more width and they're going to have more volume. So you're going to have more float underneath you. Mm-hmm. Getting that board out of the water, and naturally because the boards are shorter and you're back on it a little bit further, that nose is coming up just a little bit more and it planes out across the water.
Right. Right. So then you had talked about rails.
Rails.
What do you do with your rails?
So my rails, when I say my boards have full rails. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the dimensions on a surfboard and it says, like, for instance, 2.5 inches thick. Mm-hmm. Well, typically they dome those decks out. And if you were to measure the thickness of the rail of most surfboards, you know, 1.5 inches, 1.75 inches, maybe, my rails are at minimum 2 inches.
Okay. So they pretty much follow the thickest part.
They do have a slight dome to it, but that full rail gives me more volume underneath me, gives me more float.
Okay. Which allows you to
paddle faster. I can sit out, like I said, I can sit outside a little bit further than everybody else because I don't have, I get more glide. It's almost like I'm riding a short, very, very short version of a longboard.
Right.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Because you see longboarders, they sit further out.
Right.
And they're catching a wave often even before it breaks.
Yes.
And so with that board that you're riding, you can kind of mimic sitting a little further out.
Yes.
But catching those waves a little quicker before the guy on the inside.
Right.
Okay. What kind of fin setup?
So all of my boards are set up where I can play with my fins.
Okay.
I've stuck with what works for me for many years. I use FCS fins. We do a 5-plug setup in the board. So if I want to run it as a quad, 4 fins, run big twin, the big Mark Richard twins, I can do that. I can, you know, throw a little small little trailer fin in the back because there's a lot of water flow on when you're riding boards like that. Those tails are wide. So, I mean, even with a, you know, 16.5 inch tail, 17 inch tail, that's a lot of water going through the fins. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it makes it extremely loose, almost like loosening up the trucks on a skateboard.
Okay.
It's really loose. So
with more fins or less fins?
With the way that I have it set up now is a quad setup.
Okay.
There's just so much water flow. And playing with this latest board he built me, I'm going to probably have to go away from a quad setup and go to something different because I need that back. I need that back fin. I need more that it channels water.
Gotcha. There's a lot of science behind it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Which you know, some people could really geek out on. And that's the cool thing about surfboard creation. It's an art, but it's also a feat of engineering.
It is. Well, I mean, and there's a patience aspect behind it. I don't have the patience to shape it. I've watched them shape. I'll go watch. hey, it's really cool. I like what you're doing. Hey, let's use this color. Let's paint it this color.
Have you ever tried?
No. I'll just go and hang out and watch him do it. He does a good job. There's no need for me to try. I've got somebody that does it for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So JB
Surfboards.
Surfboards. He has a website for that, or just
he's on Facebook. He's on Instagram as well.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So if you're listening, you want to check him out, JB Surfboards on Facebook. Awesome. So where are we going with your wave that you want to talk about?
So it's funny, when we were talking about that out in the water, yeah. I have thought about it, and I have, you know, almost 40 years of surfing.
Right.
And I got to go to the 90s with it.
You got to go back a couple decades.
Couple decades. Uh-huh. June of 1996.
June of 96.
I graduated high school.
Okay.
And myself, my brother, my dad, and some really good friends of mine, we all went to Costa Rica.
Ah.
Costa Rica for a week. We had a great time. And my wave was my very last wave before we left Costa Rica.
So Costa Rica, what break in Costa Rica?
We surfed Jaco and Hermosa.
All right.
So we stayed where we were staying at. We stayed on Jaco Beach, which is, there's a bay there. And then the next bay over is where Hermosa's at.
Okay.
So we were on the Pacific side.
Had you been there before?
Have never been before.
So have you traveled other places to surf?
The Outer Banks. Uh-huh. You know, that's the best you can get on the East Coast, honestly. So I love it out there.
Yeah.
And anytime, you know, that's a quick trip for me. Yeah. So I haven't been anywhere else yet. I've looked. I take that back. 2 years ago, my fiance and I, we went to Aruba. And I didn't realize there's actually waves in Aruba. Really? You just got to know where to go. Somebody at the hotel told me about a surf report to start checking, and I checked it the whole time we were there, and it only got 2 foot. I didn't even mess with it, but it's huge for kite surfing. Guys that are into kite surfing, they down at the point, and it was just loaded. You could see the kites off in the distance.
Wow,
100 guys out at a time. It's insane.
So, wow, yeah. I've never tried kite surfing.
Neither have I. I don't think I'd like it. I'm scared of heights, so I don't want to be up in the air and coming down. It doesn't excite me.
And you see some of those videos, those guys getting like. Launched.
Oh yeah.
Ended up on rocks or losing their boards.
Yeah, that's not for me.
Well, that's cool. So you and you say your dad and your brother.
Yep. And some really good friends of mine that are all still around. They all still surf.
Fun.
Yep.
Headed to Costa Rica.
We did. We went to Costa Rica.
Nice. So what were the conditions like that week?
We had waves every day.
Yeah.
It was head high or bigger every single day.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
We stayed. It was funny. The hotel we stayed at. So here there was 10 of us, all from really close by. We're all there hanging out.
Yeah.
And we hooked up with probably another 15 guys in the hotel, and we're all from North Carolina.
No way.
Yeah.
That very similar when we were in Puerto Rico just a few weeks ago. It was so many people from Wilmington that we bumped into.
Yeah.
It was mind-blowing. I think ILM needs to open up a flight like to San Juan or Aguadilla.
Well, rumor is, and I've got friends that are from the area that have moved down to Melbourne Beach, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And rumor has it that down there you can take a round trip ticket from Melbourne to Puerto Rico for $100.
Really?
So if Randy Howe's listening, I'm passing that little secret on that we heard from you. So
all right. So Costa Rica. I've been to Costa Rica but never surfed.
All right.
I was there on a mission trip. I've been to a lot of places in the world that are surf destinations, but never surf because that wasn't the intent. I got to see like Huanchaco, Peru, or I got to drive up to Chicama and see Chicama and Trujillo and just like beautiful, beautiful places.
Yeah.
But never got to surf. So Costa Rica is a definite bucket list opportunity for the future. So you and your this crew from North Carolina have invaded.
We did. We had a blast. It was neat because that's a place that, you know, we'd never been before. None of us had ever really traveled anywhere. I mean, you know, trips to the Outer Banks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's unique about that year of 96? We had two hurricanes. Mm-hmm. We had Bertha and Fran in 96. Mm-hmm. We had the summer of a lifetime of waves.
Right.
Costa Rica, we caught Hatteras real big that year. We caught 2 foot overhead A-frames at the lighthouse.
Crazy.
All the same crew. All of us that went to Costa Rica. Yeah, we all went to the lighthouse. Uh-huh. Surfed. So we had waves. Good time. We saw crazy stuff in the water.
Uh-huh.
We saw the big manta rays were jumping one day.
Really?
And then, you know, in June, that's the rainy season there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a river mouth that runs into Hako, into the bay. And we were out one day after it had been raining, and 50 yards, 75 yards from where we were at, this girl started screaming bloody murder. Mm. An alligator popped up right next to her. It had washed out of the river mouth.
No.
It popped up next to her. This girl's freaking out. Saw alligators. I mean, it was just neat. We saw all kind of stuff in the water. Every day was something different. Saw big loggerhead turtles swam by us one day. Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one thing about surfing. You know, it's all the ocean, but when you look, most of the time surfing, we're looking out.
Right.
But when we look back, sometimes you're just like, where am I? This is another planet. This is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing about surfing that when you get to talking with people, that contact with nature, that contact with creation, and as you paddle out, what emotions run through your mind sometimes surfing?
I feel that I'm free for, you know, just for that brief little bit. You paddling out, you're leaving your worries on the beach.
Yeah.
Everything's left on the beach. This is you, and you are no longer, and then this is crazy saying this, you're no longer the top of the food chain, first off.
Truth.
All right. And second, you know, it's just you're in nature. Like, you are right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other world right underneath you.
Right.
So
there's this gentleman that moved here from Hawaii, and he's a bodyboarder, and I was surfing with him a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and he just got here. He'd been here like a week, and he was like looking around, and I was like, "You okay, man?" He's like, "I'm really nervous." I was like, "Why?" He said, "I've never surfed where I can't see the bottom."
Oh,
he goes, "What's down here?" I was like, "You don't want to know."
It's sand. Maybe a fish.
Just a fish or two. Had any big shark encounters in your years of surfing?
I've seen a few.
Yeah.
We were surfing the last one, it was 2 weeks in a row, surfing right out of, we were at Axis 31,
mm-hmm.
Myself and my son Fletcher, and, there was two little sand sharks. They were running. They were running and surf a little bit. And I told him, I said, "Hey, Fletch, there's a shark. Just keep your feet up." And
right.
There was another guy out there swimming. I'm like, you know what? If he's going to hit anybody, he's going to hit the swimmer. You know, this guy's out there wading in the water. And Fletcher said, "I'm not. I don't have it." I went to the beach.
Yeah.
He went and sat on the beach and stayed up there. He wouldn't come back out. We've, you know, seen some bigger sharks.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I remember more now. I guess I'm just a little bit more observant mm-hmm. as I get a little older.
Right.
Last fall, I think it was like late September, October, it seemed like we had 30 days of waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one then. I saw a really big shark,
mm.
At least 8 feet.
Right.
Just outside the break, just kind of swam along.
Just cruising.
Wasn't bothering anybody.
Yeah.
So I haven't, you know, I know they're there, respect them.
Right.
Just kind of... I don't know.
Yeah. We're in their neighborhood.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I remember the old surf magazines. Mm-hmm. I remember I may have been like 10 or 11, and I remember a Dahui ad.
Mm.
And I got really obsessed with Dahui. Like, I wanted to know, like, what, you know, about the Hawaiian culture and all mm-hmm. that other stuff and how they're, you know, they, I didn't realize how much they respected sharks. And there's a lot of stuff that the Hawaiians, you know, they praise mm-hmm. the shark. And these guys, the Hawaiians, they get tattoos, you know, these, you know, shark tattoos and all this other stuff. And I remember Eddie Rothman from Dahui. I remember he had these shark teeth tattooed around his arm.
Uh-huh.
And I remember telling my dad, I was like, "Dad, I'm going to get that one day."
Do you have them on?
I do.
Your sleeve.
Actually, I do. I have my shark teeth.
There they are.
I remember telling my dad that. And he says, "If you get a tattoo, you're getting kicked out of this house." So I waited and I got it after I was an adult. So.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I didn't know if like each tooth represented a shark encounter.
No. If you look at even now, I mean, it was funny because I was looking at I saw something like last week on Instagram, and it was three generations of Rothmans, and mm-hmm. it was Eddie Rothman and, you know, his son and his grandkid, they were on like a four wheeler, and you can still see the shark's teeth tattooed on him. Like, there they are. His are much bigger than mine, though. So
sharks are much bigger than
yeah.
that.
Oh yeah.
So let's jump back to this wave.
All right.
You said it was the last day.
It was last day, the very last wave. Like, it was that one I took it home.
Yeah.
I took it home.
So yeah. Tired, but still stoked.
Well, we got up early that morning, our last day. We wanted to get in the water, surf, mm-hmm. get 2 or 3 hours in before we left.
Yeah.
And was keeping a close eye on the time, and it was time to get out of the water. Yeah. So set came. I looked. I saw my brother paddling, and I snaked him.
Oh.
I did. That was probably one of the longest lefts that I've ever ridden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So snaking someone.
Yeah, I cut him off.
You typically, that's usually like, you know, a fight on the beach ready to happen.
Well, I think I have received payback for over, let's see, that was in 1996. So I've got payback ever since. So any chance my brother gets to cut me off, he takes advantage of.
He reminds you of that day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because this wave that you snaked him on is your.
That's my wave.
Wave that he didn't get.
Yep. Absolutely. I think. And don't hold me to it, but I think there is and this is, again, dating myself, I think there is a VHS tape
of it
of that wave somewhere.
No way. I
think my dad has it somewhere hidden in the attic.
Oh, you need to find that.
I need to find it.
That would be sick. That would be sick. So how big was this wave?
It was head high, maybe a little bit bigger.
Okay. Barrels or?
Just open face, just kind of, the tide was starting to fill in, so it was just kind of bigger, crumbly, but I mean, the waves are there. I mean, it's power.
Yeah.
It always had power there. So,
absolutely.
That Hatteras power, and you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's what it was like there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
now, correct me if I'm wrong, but like when we talk about Hatteras as a different type of wave than Wilmington,
yeah.
I think what causes that is the continental shelf is closer, and those waves that come from great distances, they don't get their energy drained by the continental shelf as long as they do here. So we may have a same swell from the same storm, but it's going to be bigger and more powerful up there because it's not, the energy is not eaten up as quickly.
I think I tell everybody it's because they stick out in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
That's why it's just, they're out there and they get, I mean, and the cool thing about the Outer Banks, you have over 70 miles of beach and the shape of the island, the way it sits, you can literally on any given day drive somewhere and catch waves.
Right, right. I lived down there for a summer.
Where at?
We lived, you know, where the, Third Street, south of Avalon.
Yeah.
Where the Kmart used to be. So lived back towards the Sound. And then I worked at the time, it was Pizza Inn.
All right.
Mile two. Now it's a La Fogata.
Oh, okay.
But I worked there, and so we'd surf, you know, in the morning. Then my roommates and I, we'd all go to work different places. But in the evenings, depending on what the winds and waves were doing, we would sometimes, even on the weekend, we'd head down like P Island or head further down. In fact, my most memorable wave is at Rodanthe Pier, but that's for a later episode. And because you're driving along, you pull over, see this trail through the dunes, you run over and be like miles of nothing but beautiful conditions, nobody out, just you and your buddies.
Yep, absolutely.
So it is a different world out there.
It is. We actually, so when we were after high school, I think maybe 19 or 20, my brother and I were both, you know, involved in ESA.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy we were ordering our boards from at the time, we were getting our boards out of Nag's Head.
Oh, really?
So Gale Force Glassing, which is Rasco Hunt and Ted Kearns, who's now moved. He lives in Hawaii, and he's doing his own thing, TK Surfboards. Well, Ted would shape our boards, and Rasco was a glasser. And we'd go up there and get our boards, and we had friends in Buxton.
Right.
So we'd go to Buxton and stay 3 or 4 days down in Buxton and go surf. And,
yeah.
And it was just a blast.
It is a cool safari.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here we are, same state, but to get to Buxton – it's like a half a day drive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But you can stop along the way and catch waves. You can
stop
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Love it. Love it. It makes North Carolina a cool place to.
It really does.
Yeah. There's a lot of contour to our coastline. And I look forward to hurricane season.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to Costa Rica. Last wave, snake in your bro, and you take off, and it just set up. What did you do on that wave?
I remember when I first cut them off. I remember I just looked, I remember dropping down the bottom of the face, set my rail, and just the takeoff.
Yeah.
And I remember looking back behind me, and I saw him. And his arms were in the air. And at that point, it was fun. It was just like, it's almost like riding a long skateboard in a pool.
Yeah.
Or just, I mean, it was just up and down the face, just, you know, all the way to the beach. I mean, go up, nice little soft hit off the top, go back down. It was just a blast. I mean,
right.
A fun ride. I mean, you know, one of those minute long waves to the beach. And yeah, just content when you got out of the water. Just the smile on your face.
Those are the ones that you end on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you don't go back out after that.
No.
You take it home.
That's fun. So that one wave, you ever go back in your mind?
I do.
And ride that?
I do.
Because when we were walking down the beach and I asked you to come on the show, you were like, I know the wave. Was that the one you were thinking of?
That was it.
That's so cool.
Well, there was one more that, I mean, and it really kind of.
Same place?
No.
Okay.
Last summer.
Really?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of, it was just one of those things.
Was it that swell that should not be named?
No.
Okay.
No, this was just, it was a groundswell, like a Saturday morning groundswell.
Uh-huh.
It was clean. I remember getting to the beach and my fiance was, let's see, I don't think the baby was here yet. So the baby was born in August. So it was before August. So maybe like June, July timeframe.
Okay.
So she's pregnant. I'm like, we get to the beach. I'm like, all right, I'm going to surf it. I got to get in the water. So I went out and like the very first wave I caught, this long left, you know, you run out, cut back, you know, bring it back around the white water, turn back around and go, keep going. And I remember I stayed out in the water for like 45 minutes, you know, being conscious, you know, I mean, you know, I got a lady on the beach with me and I remember going in and she said, that's the longest wave I've ever seen you surf.
Oh, sweet.
So yeah, so she's like, she called me out on one. So, cause I mean, you know, she likes going to the beach too. So
she surfed?
No. I've taken her out a couple of times. And I think this summer, maybe I'll get her out a little bit more cause I've already threatened her with them bringing the baby in the water. I'm gonna take the baby on the surfboard. So
why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Start them young.
Yeah. That's
good.
They
make water wings for kids.
They do.
Good.
They do.
Yeah.
That's cool. So surfing, what do you say, 40 years?
Almost.
What have you noticed in surfing that has been unique as far as a change?
I think everything, well, with an exception of I hope that the 90s surfboards don't ever come back. I didn't like those. It's really thin, like when Rob Machado first stepped on the scene and he's riding these like,
potato
these
Merricks
that were like 6'1", 18 inches wide, 2 inches thick. I mean, there's nothing to them. I would never be able to ride a board like that. You know, these rockers, they look like a ski.
Yeah.
You know, just noses, like they called them a flip tip nose, straight up. I hated those boards. But it seems like everything's coming back full circle.
Okay.
I remember, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago when the big retro twin fins came back with the wooden keel fins and guys are starting to ride those and all the colors are coming back,
right.
Bright colors, man. I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, even with board shorts, dating myself a little bit, but I like the shorter board shorts.
Right.
And even those are coming back now. So like all the companies, all the major brands are doing like a shorter board short.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what like Tom Carroll would wear and like Tom Curran and all these guys that I remember.
Those might be a little too short, but.
Well, they're not. I mean, well, they're a good in between, but they're not as long as what like Andy Irons would wear, like below the knee.
Yeah.
You know, I wear those and it looks like I got pants on. So, but yeah, I like to see all the, I mean, the full circle change. I mean, you know, guys are, you look out in the water and there's a mix in the water now, what everybody's riding.
Yeah.
Longboard, there's a popularity with longboards now. Guys are riding longboards.
Yeah. We were just talking about that the previous interview, but then I was talking with a guy, I think it was last night, and just the amount of young people riding longboards.
Yes.
And not just wave storms, but like really getting into a single fin, you know, 9.2 and just really going to town on it.
There's something about a single fin that rides so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a 9.2 that I've rode just as a single fin since the beginning. And I've only been riding, had a longboard for maybe 4 or 5 years. But a fellow that I had gotten this big bag of fins, and I found these itty bitty FCSs that were shaved down.
Right.
And so they're these little biscuits that I got on the side. And it's amazing, just that little bit helps.
It does.
Kind of cool.
I want, so my next board, 6.6, 6.8 single fin.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to do like a teardrop, like a full on, like my brother has a Jerry Lopez that he acquired from somewhere. I don't know where he got it from. But, and I want him to build that in an epoxy.
In a single fin.
In a single fin.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I picked up a board, a 6.4 Love Child for my son. And it's got the quad with a single fin set up.
Yes.
And I was like, I have a fin for it.
Right.
But I haven't put it in yet. He won't let me ride it much.
Man, there's something about that box, that fin box. You see that fin box and you just know it's just going to be, you can have so much. Don't get me wrong. There's a performance aspect to it, but that's a style ride.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Which I'm curious to see how that would ride a 6.4 with a single fin. Because I've not done a lot of mid-length stuff.
Right.
It's either been short board, I ride a 5.10, or you know, I've got a 6.1, you know, for maybe those bigger days, but then the long board. I have an 8.4 and then a 9.2.
I've got an 8.10 at the house. Single fin. And my dad actually gave it to Fletcher, but I ride it more than Fletcher does. When Fletcher's at school and I want to go surf, I take that if it's small.
Right. I've been taking sorry, Drew, it's my son. I've been taking his board out when he's in school too. But I paid for half of it.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's half mine.
it's board rent.
That's right. So in this progression and then this return, one of the things that's interesting is the number of surfers in the water today.
Yes.
Talk to me, you know, back in the day, number of surfers at a given break.
I remember growing up and I remember surfing, you know, surfing the piers. I mean, that's where the waves were. I mean, I remember surfing the Scotch Bonnet Pier in the 80s, Barnacle Bills, Paradise Pier. Paradise is gone. Scotch is gone. Barnacle Bills is gone. They're all gone. Hurricanes took them. A fire took Paradise Pier.
Okay.
You know, and then transitioned surfing Surf City Pier. And I remember, I mean, but these are all local spots. So there was all locals, a lot of locals in the water. And I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, there is a local, there's a territory for locals. And I'm, you know, I feel now as I'm older, I just don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
But I remember a lot of like newbies coming out in the water and they got ran off.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, Surf City was very hard on their serving too close to pier ordinance. So, and the locals policed everybody. I mean, there's some guys out there, they would yell at them, "You're over the line, get back."
Really?
I mean, they would run them out of the water. So, but now, I mean, there's a lot more people in the water. And I guess, I don't think it's because I'm older, but I mean, if I see somebody that's struggling a little bit, hey, you know what? Move up a little bit on your board. Keep your legs together. You know, use your knees, counterbalance, you know, lined up with your chest. Center yourself with the board. Use the stringer to line yourself up, even with the board, when you're paddling.
Yeah.
You know, just give them some pointers. I mean, you know what? It's a love of the ocean. I mean, we're all out there to have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not Kelly Slater. I'm not any of these guys that are making a living off surfing. I'm doing it for fun and enjoyment. I want that guy next to me or that girl next to me to have just as much fun as I am.
Yeah. When did it dawn on you that you're not Kelly Slater?
Oh, man. when I still had hair and he didn't.
That's great. I have a friend that bumped into, hadn't seen him in a while, and he is riding mid-lengths, and you know, just, and he's like, said the same thing. When I realized that I was not going to be Kelly Slater caliber, I had to find what I enjoyed,
right,
just for the pure enjoyment of the wave.
But the mid-lengths, though, are what I'm seeing now with all the, you know, we talk about progression of surfing, and you talk about surfboards, progression of surfboards, and the materials that they're using. I mean, you can ride a mid-length now. You can get on a 6.8 or a 6.10 or even jump up into the 7.2 range, and the boards weigh a third of what they did back in those shapes, which were popular in the 70s. You know, I mentioned the, you know, some of these Aussie shapers, you know, shaping the Bonzer, which is a fame, you know, that it's a very unique shape. But guys are riding those and they're a third of the weight. They're epoxy. They can adjust the volume. Mm-hmm. And these boards work great. So
right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty cool. And it is cool to see the variety that's out there on any given day. Where do you like to surf most?
My go-to spot, honestly, is Axis 31.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it there. I know my way around. I know where there's a couple little sandbars. I know where the deep spots are. Just, right. Yeah. It's convenient. It's quick. I got a buddy of mine that lives over there, so I can kind of park close to his house if I need to wash my feet up before I get back in my truck. I can't. Right. So.
Yeah. It's good to have friends with concrete.
Absolutely.
Especially with parking fees nowadays.
Oh, man. Man.
That's not cool.
Yeah. Well, I hear all the guys they're all up in arms down at home in Surf City and Topsail Island or Topsail. They've gone to a parking ordinance. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have to pay for parking. I'm not going to be able to afford anything and I can't go eat now. I said, listen, guys, you're going to do the exact same thing. You're just going to pay to park.
Yeah.
Or you're going to get creative and park and ride your bike.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Used to do that. when they started charging at Wrightsville, we'd park at the park.
Right.
And I would drop the family off and then park at the park and I'd run.
Yeah. That's what I did. Get a workout. Yeah. We still do that. Yeah.
But now you have to pay.
Yeah.
At the park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, last summer with a pregnant fiance, I was doing that. I would like drop her off, drop all their stuff, run up, park my truck wherever. I would park my truck, go to Food Lion, a Landfall, and run back.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. And then when we were ready to go, then I'd run to my truck. Yeah.
Surprised somebody hadn't started like an Uber service. Like,
man, that would be Uber for surfers.
Maybe we shouldn't have said anything.
Uber for surfers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Wrightsville Beach. I mean, if you got to get a business permit for Wrightsville Town and Wrightsville Beach, I'm sure they would.
Possibly.
Yeah. They'd have to get their cut, but. You know.
Right. I do have that van.
You could put a lot of surfboards in there.
I could. Might have to.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So, got any upcoming trips?
No. I just got back from a trip, actually, and it wasn't a surfing-related trip, but it was a once-in-a-lifetime. Last Wednesday, I left here at 9 o'clock in the morning with my son, and Saturday afternoon, we landed in San Francisco.
Really?
We drove coast to coast in 3.5 days.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
And then I took a red eye back, and that's when, you know, was that 2 weeks ago then?
Yeah, it must two Sundays ago.
2 Sundays ago. So yeah. I had just gotten back that Sunday morning from a red eye out of San Francisco back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, you said this was your Sunday. He's
in the Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Yeah.
And you drove him. He wanted a vehicle out there.
That's right.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what, you know, the summer's coming up. I want to sneak out to the Outer Banks for a few days. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would love to be out there this week. I know there's not much for waves, but they're having a big drum run. So these guys are catching, you know, 40, 50 pound drum off the beach. Yeah.
Down at the point.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It looks fun.
Yeah. I know Brett Barley up there.
Oh yeah. He's every day. I see his, him. And there's another,
the kayak. And then,
there's a guy named Hunter from, he's got a charter out there. I think on Instagram, his name is On a Adventure.
Huh.
And he posts it last night. I think he got one that was like 48, 49 Goodness. Inches. Just massive.
Goodness. Yeah. Huh. I do have this weekend kind of free. Friday, Saturday.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, know. Don't we have a little cool front coming in?
There is. Yeah. And it looks like maybe a wave tomorrow evening. I don't know. What sources do you use to search for waves?
Obviously we have the obvious, I use Surf Checks.
Uh-huh.
I check Surfline, you know, I got my buddy that lives in Buxton. He posts every single morning.
Really?
Yeah. So he's my go-to if I really want to know what's going on up there.
Right.
He's the man. I'll get a real surf report from him.
Yeah. Have you come across, it's called Pinpoint.
Mm-mm.
Pinpointsurf.com, I think it's called.
I haven't.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll show you out when we get off
All right.
air. But yeah, Pinpointsurf.com, I think is what it's called. And it seems like. Might be a local guy.
There's a Weather Underground. I use that one too. Mm. I really like that one.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Chris, thank you.
Yeah, man.
So much for coming in, sharing that Costa Rica last wave of the week, dropping in on your brother.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do you bring that up to him?
Every now and again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. When he drops in on you.
Yeah.
This is for Costa Rica.
Yeah, he laughs at me. Yeah.
That's great. Well, hey, always end this, the interview this way. And I think you said you've listened to a couple, so you know where I'm going. In the book of Acts, in the Bible, we have a reference, early reference to potential surfing. Acts 27, verse 44. Paul was in a shipwreck. The ship was busted up, and everybody made it safely to shore. It says, some on pieces of the ship and others on boards. So there's a possible reference in the scriptures there to surfing, because you know some of those guys. There's over 200 on the ship.
Yeah.
Look back out, had these boards, and like, you want to do it again? That was kind of fun.
You know they did.
Oh, yeah. You know there's one or two.
And they did, you know what? The gram wasn't around back then, so they didn't have to take pictures of it.
Right. Well, Chris, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next episode. Peace.
All right, see you. I started again.